God speaks differently all the time. And for me, there's a lot of things that stuck out, but they sort of mentioned a couple things. I'm going to go over them a little bit. But the cool part about this whole trip is getting away from junk, you know, just getting out of town, just being away, getting away from the TVs, video games, although we still had TVs in our hotel room. They brought their video game system, so they were still playing, but only at night from like midnight to 4 a.m., that's it. But getting away and just being surrounded by people who love God. And for teenagers, I know that's a change because it's usually the opposite. If they love God, they're constantly surrounded by people who don't, or say they do, but don't really live it. But throughout the week, I mean, we started out, the first thing we did was great. As soon as we got to Louisville, the first thing we did is we went and did a service project day. And from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., we worked at Hotel Louisville, which Travis mentioned is a huge hotel. It was a big struggle to get it because the city didn't want them to have it because they didn't want a bunch of homeless people right in the heart of Louisville. But they bought this building anyway, and they went ahead and did it without their permits and with everything. But luckily, God worked it out, and they actually just got approved to continue. But they help people. They just are living what God has said. They are helping struggling alcoholics, drug addicts, homeless people, people with medical, you know, chemical imbalances. They're just helping them. And so it was great as we went down there, four guys, and it sort of represented the whole trip to me that this horribly dirty basement. And I didn't take a picture of the sign because I didn't want y'all to worry, but it said, must wear masks because asbestos might be around. But we found out that was just in the pipes. We weren't messing with the pipes. The pipes were solid if you're working with the pipes. So don't worry. We didn't do that. But we're in there, and all this dirt and grime. For 40 years, they had these huge air conditioners down this basement that just blew constantly. And so they finally just took them all out. But what was left was just 4 inches of soot and nastiness. And so we cleaned it. And the guy was like, if y'all can get any of this done, I'll be happy. Well, these guys worked so hard that at the end of about 2 o'clock, really, we had the whole thing clean. Some of them said you could even eat off the floor. I don't know if we went that far. But 13 or 15 garbage cans full of soot we had to haul up to the trash can, tons of bricks and debris that we had to clean out. But it was amazing for the kids, I think. They loved, and I did too, seeing this nasty, dirty, huge area that looked impossible to clean. And then see it spotless and just totally ready to be used for the next thing. And sort of represented a lot of spiritual things to us on the trip. And at the end, the guy who works there every day, the guy in charge of the building, maintenance guy, said, well, I hope we saved you a couple of days of work, you know, here. He's like, no, you saved me 2, 3, 4 weeks of work. And that was just great to know that we helped in a mission that is really doing what God has called us to do. So then we went. So after that, we get to experience NYC, which you saw on the screen, 6,500 kids all in a stadium packed out, worshiping, not being embarrassed, you know, like they feel 99% of the time at their own church and their own schools and everywhere else, where they can come and just be open about their love for God and their worship for Him. And it was an amazing week. And God spoke in many different ways through the speakers, through the worship, through the workshops we went to in the afternoons. And God was just a part, and no injuries, no problems. So God was all a part of that, and it was great just to be in God's presence. One of the cool things that we talked about, though, is one night all the guys got together. I was doing room check at 11:45 at night, and which I thought was dumb. They should have been in the rooms at 11 so I could go to bed. And so I was pretty tired by that night. And but we checked in on them, and I had a couple questions I just want to ask them from the day. And those couple questions turned into 3 hours of just talking about life. And those are the life-changing things you can't get anywhere else that your kids need to be a part of on trips and on things that don't happen just at home in the basement or whatever, or at, you know, in the video game room. It happens when you're away and you're with people who believe like you believe. And just talking about struggles and how to handle it, and now what do we do when we go back and we're on fire for God, and we, every other time this has happened, we go back and we lose what God did, and the fire sort of goes out. What do we do? And it was a tough question, and I told them, you know, the answers I have. And the funny thing is, the last morning, David Graves, our GS for the Nazarene Church, that basically just means he's really high up, he spoke. He was the oldest goofiest speaker of the whole event. And he would say that to you as well. Because, you know, it's a teen event, so they have cool speakers. Francis Chan and stuff, and Reggie Dabbs. And so this GS comes up, and David Gray is an amazing guy. I've known him for years from traveling, singing at his churches. And he got up, and he just nailed on the head, how do you answer the question of, what do we do when we go home and the fire goes out? And what I loved about his whole sermon, and that's basically what I want to share with you today, is there's one big thing, and I've told a couple of you guys this already, just in people who've asked about the trip. There's one big thing that has to happen, and then there's three steps to help accomplish that one, or help that one thing continue to go. And he shared a story about a man, and I've had these same conversations. I'm sure Dr. Lev has had these same conversations with especially young men who come up and say, why don't I just give up at this Christian thing? Because it's not working out. I get on fire. I change my life. I get things straight. And I'll do good for a week, a month, a year. And then all of a sudden, I'm back to where I started. I fall back into it. The fire goes out. Why do I keep trying? It's insanity. Why don't I just quit? And David Graves' response to him was, have you been saved? And he said, yeah. And of course, I think a lot of us have been saved. But he said, have you then gone on to the next step of being willing not just to say it with your words, but to mean it with your life? That God, I am dying to myself, and I'm only going to live for you. And dying to ourself means a lot. It's not just words we say. It means dying to the way we're programmed to live, the sinful way we're programmed. We're all programmed to live and to mess up and say, you know what? I'm going to throw that off with the help of you, Lord, and with the help of the Holy Spirit who empowers me to give my whole life to you. And whatever you want, I will do it. He used my favorite chapter of the Bible, which I think a lot of you would agree, Romans chapter 12, talks about this so plainly. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, what God's done in your life, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. One of the things I told them, you know, that night as we were talking, is sometimes we say, it's almost like true love. You know, if someone was going to hurt my wife, I would jump in front of a train for her, or a bullet in front of her, I'd die for her. And we say that about God. You know, if somebody put a gun to my head and said, do you believe in God? And if you do, I'm going to blow your head off. I would say yes, and I would take that bullet for God, and I would die for him. But the harder question, that's sort of an easy thing to do, in some sense that we could one time, one situation, choose God over everything else. But what's really harder is to be a living sacrifice, meaning every single day to choose God in the little things. Not the big, I'll give my life to you, God. I'll blow my brains out. Not me personally, but I'll let someone else blow my brains out for you. I'll stand up one time. But how much harder is it to be a living sacrifice where every single day we choose God over the world? We choose God over our temptations. We choose God over the sins we struggle with. That's the hard thing. And that's what it's talking about right here. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Worship here in music is one form, but a bigger, more important form is how you live your life. That's the real worship the world needs to see. Not just in here, you're willing to raise your hand or sing out, or you really mean it in your heart, but when you go out of here and you go to your work, are you really worshiping God in everything you do? Because we're not to conform to the pattern of this world any longer, but we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Those are such powerful verses in our lives that can totally change us if we allow. But I believe the renewing of our mind starts at when we accept Christ in our life. We say, Lord, I believe in you. Come into my life. Save me. But the next step is when we say, I'm willing to be a living sacrifice. I want to do this with my life. I want to do that. My friends, my family, all these people want me to do this. But I'm going to say no to them. And I'm going to say yes to whatever it is you want to do in my life. And that's when things change. Now, there's three steps. So that's one you can't really explain how to do. That's something that has to happen in your heart. It's not a logical step-by-step process of how that happens. That's a heart thing between you and God to say, I'm willing to die to the world and live for you, God. But there are some steps once you do it, because if you just do that one time, sometimes that can even fizzle out. But we have to live in God's Word. And I think that's something all of us struggle with, and especially teenagers. We have to live in God's Word. We have to eat the word of Christ. We have to consume it. We have to have a balanced diet of God into our life. And a lot of times we don't. When you compare how much time you spend on TV and video games and everything, and then God gets maybe 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it doesn't quite compute. We have to live in God's word. Second step, we have to have a vibrant relationship with God through prayer. We have to be able to talk to God. We have to know his good and perfect will. It comes through knowing his voice, spending time with him, talking with him. And then last, we have to have good Christian relationships and accountability. And I think this was so powerful for our kids. I think some of our kids understand we need to read the Bible, we need to pray. But do we hold ourselves accountable? Not to some friend we don't care about, not to somebody we don't respect, but somebody we look up to, we respect, that we don't want to tell our deepest, darkest secrets to. But we're called in a life of Christian community to have accountability and relationships with each other. Those are the three things. And I hope that's just something that has stuck with the teens like it stuck to me, because I always knew the steps of read your Bible, pray, and that. But the connection of really living, I speak about those separately. This is the first time I heard him put them together, and it made so much sense to me, even though it's so common sense. You know what I mean? One of those things where you know it, but when you hear it, it clicks that we have to die to ourselves, change the pattern of the way we live our life, or else the old patterns are just going to come right back in. And we have to say, God, I'm changing everything. If I have to change where I go to school, if I have to change what kind of computer I have, if I have to change who I hang out with, it's all about you. And that's a hard thing to do, because believe me, right now, honestly, it would be so much easier to stay here. You guys love me. I love you. It's a great relationship. I love leading worship. I love doing youth ministry. But there comes a point when God says go, and you have to decide, am I going to stick with what the world says? The world says don't move right now. You're going to lose a lot of money on your house and on your stuff and on your... You might not be good at the next thing. You might not succeed. You might be fired in a year, whatever. So am I going to listen to that, or am I going to listen to what God says? And so I hope more than anything, as you see us leave to the next thing God has planned for us, that you don't concentrate on the leaving part, but you concentrate on teaching your kids, your family, your own self, that we have to follow what God says more than anything else. Anybody, and it doesn't go with logic 99% of the time. Isn't that weird? Logic and God's will a lot of times don't match up. But when we do it, what a peace, what a joy, what an excitement it is to be in his will and to know you're in it and to not worry about the things of this world, because our God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And we so often ask for a cheeseburger, and he wants to give us so much more than that. He's like, I got way more than that. I've got everything. And so this trip was amazing for me, as well as these teens. It's a life-changing event for you parents. Whenever you can, you can know now that I'm not just plugging youth ministry, because, you know, it's up to you from this point on. Send your kids, whatever the cost, whatever it takes, be on top of what's going on, because you never know what trip is going to change your kid's life, and you never know what trip might have changed their life if they had gone. And I encourage you guys, take advantage. Don't wait. Don't say they'll go next year or the next year, because a lot of times I've seen it. It doesn't happen. They don't go next year. They don't go the year after that. They don't go. Send them. Push them. Encourage them. If you have to make them, make them. There was a kid there from one of the other youth groups that was part of our group, so he was part of everything we did, because he was from the Korean Nazarene Church in West Chicago, North Chicago. And he was part of a group, and his parents made him come, and he didn't want to be there. But at the end of the week, he said, man, I'm so glad they made me come. God wrecked my life, and it was awesome. So I encourage you guys to do that. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done in all of our lives. And Lord, today we thank you for the way you want to move in teenager and children's lives, Lord, as well as our own. But you love our kids. You love teenagers. You want to help them avoid the pitfalls and the traps Satan lays before them, Lord. So today we celebrate that Travis is trusting in you, Lord, not in himself, not in his own logic, but in your will for his life, Lord, today in front of everybody. And we pray, Lord, that he would grow, that he would be in your word, he would be in prayer, and he'd have accountability, Lord, that keeps him on the right track for you. And continue to grow him into the man, Lord, the godly man that you've called him to be. We give you the praise today. We love you.